The 51st chapter of the book of Isaiah, in the first verse, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the deep, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and is feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exiled hasteneth, that he may loose, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divideth the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. but I will put it into the hand of him that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. There's enough in a reading like that, you know, you could just talk on and on and on. You know, it's a time when we ought to really get down to business with God. Did you know that? It's a time when we ought to quit being children, quit being babies, quit playing with religion, and consoling ourselves that we are Christians and on our way to heaven, having done nothing for God, having not fasted, having not prayed, having not give, having not shared with the needy, the afflicted, just being in a rut. It's time that we got over that. And it's time that we realize that we've got to do something for God. It's no time to look back and say, well, I did this yesterday or I did that yesterday. There's no time for that. See, what you did yesterday will not suffice for today. You go out here and you get you a job and you work every day and let the man pay you at the end of the week. And the next week, you don't do anything. You just wait till the weekend comes and you look to that man to give you your paycheck and you'll find out that you won't have a paycheck. And you say, but sir, I worked last week. Don't you remember how hard I worked last week? He'll say, I paid you for that last week, but this is this week. Therefore, the Bible said, taking no thought for those things that are behind. Then let us press in to God, and let us press forward, and let us do something every day of our life for Jesus. Let us not think about what we done yesterday, but let's do something today for God. That's what I want to do. Now, you might not want to, but that's what I intend to do by the help of the Lord. I want to press in for God, and I want to do something today for God, and tomorrow for God, and the next day for God, and the next day for God. And I want to do something on and on and on for God. And I don't want to do a little something now for God and then start sitting down and start being lazy and careless and laying up money and saying, well, I've done my part. Now I'm going to get my share. Now, you know, a lot of people, they do a little something for God and then they gloat over it for days and weeks and months. And they say, now I've done my part. Now I'm going to get me a little cut out of it. But I'll tell you right now, I feel like the little widow that give the last dollar she had, give the last bit she had, those men that give the last bit of strength they had, and some of the ladies that give the last drop of blood they had back in during the dark age. I want to do something for God, and I don't want to worry about what I've done yesterday. I want to lay that aside and say, God, I'm thankful that I could do it, but what I've done, I've had enough blessings and protections, God, that all of that's rewarded if I never get anything else from you, and I want to do something today. All right, now, so then, I would like to be able to do something for God. I want to do something for Jesus. I want to rise up, as the Bible said, and I want to get into the presence of God, and I want to come into a place to where I can put on my beautiful garments. You know what the beautiful garments of Zion are? It's when you put on the body of Jesus Christ. Arise, O Zion, and put on thy beautiful garments. That's what the Bible calls the redemption of the body. When you rise up or raise up and get ready to redeem the body, you're putting on the redemption of the body. You're putting on bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're beginning to put on the redemption of the body, or what the Bible calls your beautiful garments. All right, so then let's do something for God. Let's come together as a brotherhood and do something for God. Let's stop coming to church and having to be pumped up like an old flat tire, you know. Always going down, always having to pump it up. You ever had a car where you had a tire and you're too lazy to fix it? Didn't want to spend enough money to fix it? And every morning you have to get out there and take a hand pump and pump it up, or have to take the wheel off and take it to town, or run half flat up the road trying to hope, you know, hoping that you'll get there, or trying to get there before the rest of the air goes out. Have you ever been like that? I have in my lifetime. That's a miserable, lazy creature. Did you know that? That's right. I've been a miserable, lazy creature at times in my life in the days gone by, not realizing it. That's right. And so then, I don't want to be that in the sight of God. I want to do something for God. It's like David Allen said, I've mentioned this a number of times. David told me one time, he said, Brother Pike, he said, I'm a smart man when it comes to my natural work. He said, but after hearing the sermon that you preached tonight, I realize that I'm spiritually lazy when it comes to God's work. That's the way that we ought to look at it. We ought to shake ourselves and say, God, don't let me be spiritually lazy, but let me be up and be about my Father's business. Let me do something for God and let me get up, you know, and get out there and get with it and do something for Christ Jesus. If you've got a job to do, let's get up and do our job, whether it's here, whether it's abroad, or wherever it might be. If there's somebody hungry that needs to be fed out there, it's your job and my job to feed them. A lot of people say, well, the welfare takes care of that. But I made this statement. That's the reason the welfare took all the money. Called the welfare took the job that God meant for the church to do. But see, we left it to the world, so God gave the goods to the world. But I think it's time that we get up and do something for God. Just since we've been here at Little Bethlehem, I'm glad to say that the welfare has had to call on Little Bethlehem to take care of the poor. Amen, that's right. I'm glad. We welcome the opportunity and we try to do everything we can because I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. When we get up and we're about our Father's business, then we'll have a chance to put on our beautiful garments. I want you to think on this. You go out there and work all week long. Work day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Now listen to me. And then you take every dollar of it and you feed your belly today. You feed your belly tomorrow. You feed your belly the next day. You're getting older. You're getting fatter. You're getting lazier. You're getting weaker. Out of all the feeding of the belly, you don't get any stronger. Did you know that? As days go by and you get weaker and weaker, you don't get any stronger. But did you know that you can look to God and grow stronger as you get older? The Bible said that Sarah was old, but by faith she received the strength to conceive and bear a son. Isn't that right? By faith in God, you can receive the strength of heaven. You can receive the blessings of God and really do something for the Lord Jesus. But you will take your money, your time, because it takes all your time to get the money. You'll take your money and take all of your time and go out there in the world. And 6 months from now, 6 years from now, all you've done is bought one junker and got rid of it. And you bought another junker and you got rid of it. And if you bought a brand new one, after a while it gets to be a junker. And you get rid of it. Isn't that right? All you've done is you buy you one house and you buy you another house. You buy you one piece of land, you buy you another piece of land. Are you listening to me? Buy you one suit and you wear it out and you get you another suit. And finally, 6 years later, all you've done is just come to realize that you've wandered around in a rut. That's all you've ever done. You've wandered around in a rut and you're probably older than you was. Well, you are 6 years older than you was when you started. And probably a lot fatter and a lot worse or a lot skinnier. Maybe a lot balder. You understand what I'm saying? And you suddenly realize, you say, God, what kind of fool am I? Solomon put all of his money into building something, got it up, got everything just right, and then looked back and said, my God, he said, who knows but what I'll leave it all to a fool after by wisdom I've gotten it all, I'll leave it all to a fool. That's why the Bible said, lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt, for wherever your treasures are there, your heart will be also. That's why I build buildings like this. I build God a building. I build these buildings for God. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. See, when all of this passes away, it won't be gone. All of the labor, all of the time, all of the effort, all of the prayers, everything I've done will be waiting for me over yonder on the other side. When all of this crumbles to the ground, I'll have every bit of it in heaven. Won't lose one thing here. Did you know that? That's why that we ought to do something for Christ. If I win one soul here out of the whole time that this building stands, it's worth 50 billion times billions of dollars to God. Did you know that? Just one soul being saved from the fire. Just one soul. And when we do something for God, if we give to God, if it ain't but $1 that we give to God, if it wins a soul, look what you've done. If you give $1 million to God and you don't win but one soul, brother, that's the greatest $1 million that was ever spent in the earth. Another man might spend billions of dollars and build cities, but it'll never be compared to your million. Did you know that? So then, I say that what we ought to do is to get our mind in a channel for God. We know that this world is crumbling. We know that the government's gone. We know that the morals is gone. We know that everything in the world has completely collapsed. And yet we continue to feed our face and feed our belly and continue to seek to lay up money and to get treasures in this world. Why do we do that? Knowing all of these things. And if you get a person convinced that all of this is going down the drain, they'll turn around and get so lazy they won't pick up a brush or a hammer or anything else to do anything. They'll say, "You got me convinced, Brother Pike. All of this is going down the drain. Ain't no need of me working for it." And they just flat sit down and let their family go hungry and get lazy and won't do nothing for God. The devil doesn't care what direction that he takes you. Did you know that? If he takes you this direction and makes you lazy, it's all right with him. If he takes you another direction and causes you to want to get up here in the riches of the world and get the things of the world, he don't care about that either. It don't make any difference. But if you can strike a moderation with God and say, "Now wait a minute, having food and raiment, I ought to be content with that. I didn't bring nothing in this world, and it's for sure I ain't going to take nothing out of this world. And all that I'll ever save is what I do for God while I'm passing through this world." And you begin to think like that. You say, "Well, my God, I spent yesterday for the devil and the day before for the devil and the day before for the devil." Somebody say, "Well, Brother Pike, I want you to know that I don't spend my days for the devil. But the Bible said the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice unto devils." Is that right? What they do out there, they sacrifice unto devils. When the Gentiles buy new cars, they give it to the devils. Come on now. When they buy new homes, they give it to the devils. Somebody said, "Well, I don't see it like that." It doesn't matter if you don't see it like that. It's what the Bible says. What they sacrifice it to the devils. When they go to Six Flags, they gave it to the devil. When they go to the movies, they give it to the devils. When they go out here to these places out here where they eat, go out to dinner, they gave it to the devils. Now, wait a minute, somebody said, "Now, Brother Pike, I saw you over there at one of them places." Yeah. I'll have to confess, I've been out to the restaurants, but I didn't give mine to the devil. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Well, how did you get around it?" The Bible teaches I can't sacrifice to devils and sacrifice unto God. How did you get around it? All I did, I passed through the land of Esau and paid him for what belonged to him, and I put it down here and got strength so I could drive the devil out and do something for God. You love Jesus? People that love God have a right to these things. God made it for them. But when you're not living for God and you're not doing anything for God and you're not sharing your time with God, my friend, you're giving your time to the flesh. And when you give your time to the flesh, you are giving your time to the devil. Anytime you just sit around home and do nothing, just lazy around and do nothing, you are giving your time to the devil. You say, "Well, Brother Pike, you got to sit at home sometimes." That's all right. But the Bible said meditate in the laws of God day and night. While you're sitting there, think about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What can I do? I wonder what I can do to help Brother Atlee. I wonder what I can do to help Brother Taylor. I wonder what I can do to help them people in India. My, I wonder if Big Red's running all right over yonder. Better get the motor home ready so we can get out and do something for Jesus. I wonder if Steve has got any paper over yonder. How do you understand what I'm saying? Everything that we do should be toward Christ. Every thought that we think should be toward Jesus. I should be thinking about God in the morning, thinking about God in the evening. I shouldn't go around. You know, some folks, they go around, they drink one Coca-Cola, and they got their mind on the next one. And they drink one milkshake, and they got their mind on the next one. They get one candy bar, and they got their mind on the next one. It's no wonder they keep blowing up like a balloon. The devil's got their mind in bondage. That's all they ever do is eat themselves to death. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Whereas that person may be taken in bondage by a demon of eating, there's another that's got an old gossiping tongue. And it's a chain reaction. Did you know that? The Bible said God will bind them with chains of darkness. And some folks has got an old carnal mind,
And all they can think of is gossip, gossip, gossip. They'll fill this person's ear with garbage, and then they'll go over here and fill this person's ear with garbage, and the first news you know, they're filling somebody else's ear with garbage. They just go all the time. Is that right? All right, you say, but what about that? Well, there has to be a garbage man. How do you know that? In everything, there has to be a garbage man, and there has to be some dump somewhere. There has to be some garbage cans. How do you understand that? And so the garbage man, he goes by wherever he can. He picks up the garbage and he goes back and he empties it in the garbage cans. He packs it down, he goes back and gets him another load. Isn't that right? You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever heard that song, Tattler's Wagon? Some people do just exactly like that. They tattle all the time. They're just an old serpent, a crooked trail with a tongue going all the time. All the time. And some other people are bound with spirits of lust. One man lusted after a woman. Quick as she goes by, there comes another. He finds something nice about her. She goes by, he finds something else nice about the next one. And his mind is on lust all the time. He can't get away from it. Day or night, he can't get away from it. His mind's always on it because he's bound by a demon spirit. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Talking about Jesus now. All right. Some people have a spirit like sauerkraut. Like a crab apple. They're crabby in the morning if you meet them. They're crabby at noon when you meet them. They're crabby at night when you meet them. I don't care when you meet them, they're crabby. And the reason they're crabby, they're nervous and tired. And ain't done nothing but be crabby. All day long, they're that kind of person. They're just as sour as somebody said, as a dill pickle. They're sour. They got a sour disposition. When they come to church, they're sour. When you meet them outside, they're sour. Wherever you meet them, they're sour. And then there's those people that never speak to you. When you come up, you got to speak to them. I don't care if they come up in the morning, they come up at noon, they don't say nothing. They come there and they stand there around you, you know. He ain't spoke to me. I wonder what's wrong with him today. I don't know where he's going to speak to me or not. Instead of coming up and realizing that they ought to do the speaking. Better come up and say, glory to God, I'm glad to see you, brother. Instead of standing around, such a mood, expecting somebody to treat them like a little baby, and when they walk up, stick a sugar tit in their mouth. That's all right for babies, but it's time to grow up sometimes. Did you know that? I don't mind sticking a sugar tit in a baby's mouth. I don't mind bouncing a baby on my knee. But I tell you what, we got some fellas of a good size in here. I'd hate for them to sit down on my knee and expect me to bounce them. There's a time to grow up, brothers and sisters. There's a time to grow up. There's women that they're upset with their husband when he comes in the door. It don't make any difference if he comes in the morning, if he comes in the evening. No matter when he comes in, they don't like it. He's got to go over and he's got to put his arms around him. He's got to pet him. He's got to do every little thing just exactly, you know, or they're going to pout. Pout. You know what that is? That is a demon spirit. And every time you put your arms around it, you're loving a devil. Jesus didn't love the devil. When the devil got a hold of Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then when Peter got free of the devil, Jesus comforted Peter. You can't pat devils and demons. It's no wonder you don't ever get rid of them. The Bible said resist the devil. Don't love the devil. And somebody you know said, well, I know how to do that. And they reach back, so to speak, and get a ball bat. That ain't the way you resist the devil. You resist the devil, you overcome evil with good, but you resist the devil by faith in the Word. It takes faith in God's Word to do that. Some men are like that. Some men, they just all the time in that kind of condition. The wife has just got to do so-so. Everything got to be so-so. If she don't do so-so, they just blow up. Don't pet a devil, lady. Don't be arrogant with your husband. Don't be irreverent with your husband. But don't love and pet a devil. Get rid of the thing. You ever seen a person... They know they need their healing, and they really ain't as bad off as they act like they are. But you know, they want pity. They want pity. And they get to thinking, I'm dying. I'm dying with cancer. I'm dying with heart trouble. I'm dying with this. The daughter pets it and the son pets it and all of them pets it, you know. Poor daddy, poor mama, they won't be with us long. Won't be with us long. In 10 years, they're still right there eating, drinking, still just as bad off as ever, you know. Ain't that something? Just to get pity, just to have somebody to pit them all the time. They got a pain in the back, a pain in the head. They've got a stomach ache. There's always something wrong with them. Just to get sympathy, to get somebody to bow down to them. Do you want to die with some dreadful disease just to have somebody pity you? Do you want to do that? Do you want to stay in the hospital all the time just to have somebody to pity you? Do you want to go hobbling around all the time just to have somebody to pity you? I don't want that kind of life. I ain't looking for nobody's pity. I want to feel good and healthy and alive and enjoy my life in God. Let the devils have that kind of thing. I don't want it. Praise God. Don't come pitying me. I don't like flattery and I don't like pity. When a man comes around flattering me, I'd rather he get out of my presence. I can't hardly stand him because that's a devil. And I don't like pity. I like to be what I am. I like to see you be what you are. My wife, I like for my wife to be just exactly what she is. If she ain't happy with me, I want to know about it. If she is happy with me, I want to know about it. I don't want her to act like she's happy with me and 2 days later fly all over me and start telling me about a dozen things that she thought 3 months ago. Why didn't she tell me 3 months ago about it? That's a devil when a woman does that. What you think about him, tell him. If you love him, tell him. If you don't, say, I don't love you, I can't stand you. Will you please pray me through to where I can get the love of God and get straightened out to where I'll have a love for you? You know, but what they do, they say, well, I'm going to get a divorce. I'm going to get a divorce. You just ain't what you used to be. And I tell you what, if she looks in the mirror, she ain't what she used to be either. That's right. Just give it a few days and won't none of you be what you used to be. Did you know that? So then we can't go by what we used to be. Isn't that right? The thing is that you are her husband in the morning, you are her husband in the evening. She is your wife in the morning, she's your wife in the evening. You married her to live with her, you married her to love her, you married her until death do you part, settle down, forget about everybody else, and start living with your companion. What it is, you fall in lust every day. That's what you do. Somebody said, well, I fell in love with somebody else, Brother Pye. You sure did. You fell in lust with somebody else. You go by and you see somebody else and you fall in lust with them. And you think, they say something cute because they got a devil too. There's women just crawling with devils like ants. That's right, widows and all kind. And they come by and they say something cute and it catches your attention. And because your wife didn't say something cute to you, well, it fits a whole lot better. And you think, oh my, someday she'll probably die. That must be the woman I'm supposed to marry next. Ain't that some devil? And that kind of got next to somebody, didn't it? Kind of bothered you. Women do the same thing. They see some man and he looks pretty good, you know, and they're around him pretty much. And he's pretty, you know, he's among the brotherhood. And they think, well, my husband might die. That might be the man I'm supposed to. I'll be nice to him because who knows? He might be the next husband. Oh, somebody, now, Brother Pike, you know nobody don't think like that. I'm afraid they do. Now, I might say some other things if you listen close. And some of you that's in agreement with me right now, you ain't going to be in agreement with me in a few minutes. And here comes the fellow, and he's going to preach you a sermon and testify. So he testifies to the husband, and he testifies to the wife. And finally, he gets around to it. You know, you ain't supposed to wear them dresses like that. You ain't supposed to do that. You're not supposed to dress like that. And if the man had one bit of sense, he'd take his wife and leave because the man's possessed of a devil to start with. That's why he's got his mind on the woman. Why don't he tell the man and let the man tell the woman? Why is it his mind keeps running over there? And watch a woman, she'll do the same thing. She says, I want to testify. I want to tell the world about Jesus. But let a man and a woman come around, and her world don't go no farther than that man. And she starts telling him all about Jesus. That's right, it ain't long before she will be married to him, and the other woman will be on her way. You love Jesus? I'm talking about the way that devils and demons do. The undermining, evil, low-down way that they do. And tearing up homes and robbing mothers and daddies and children. Tearing things apart. That's why you got one marriage and two marriages and three marriages and seven marriages. Devils and demons. But see, if we look to the rock of our salvation, if we look to Jesus, if we stay clean in our heart, clean in our mind, and think about God and getting our mind off of the second time we're going to marry, and the third time we're going to marry, and whether or not we're going to live the longest or the wife's going to live the longest, or whether or not God's going to look down on our case and see that we're being abused by our husband, our wife, and kill them, you know. Get our mind off of that and get our wretched, low-down lives straightened out and get right with God and do something for Christ. That's what we need to do. All right. So then the Bible said, put on your beautiful garment, Zion. Let's redeem this body. Let's turn it into the body of Jesus. Let's get down to business with God. Let's love one another. Let's get our mind off of all that filthy trash and get our mind on winning souls and get our mind on fasting and get our mind on praying. I'll tell you what, if you'll fast and you'll pray and you'll study the Bible and you'll get down to business with God, your wife will look better than she's ever looked. Your husband will look better than he's ever looked in his life. Some of you spend your time. I got to go over here to this date. Why, if you can't go, you'll have to stay here because the Lord sent me over there. You just stay here. And the wife said, well, what am I going to do about something to eat? Don't worry, honey. The Lord will take care of you. Now you say, Brother Pike, nobody wouldn't do that. I had an evangelist to come to my house one time, left his wife way over in another state with the children in a little old place over there. I've had this a number of times. Come over there, and I said, we got to talking. I didn't know the man hadn't left his wife somewhere like that. And I said, well, are you married? Yep. Got children? Yep. Where are they at? Well, they're over yonder. I said, over where? Over another state. I said, well, what are they doing? You got everything taken care of, I guess, over there. Well, no, ain't got nothing. Didn't have nothing to eat when we left. I said, what do you mean? Well, that's the way it is, you know. He said, God will take care of them. I ain't worried about it. I tell you what, God will. How many believe God will? But God will take care of his hide, too, while he's doing it. You better believe God will. God means for us to stop that foolishness. Running here and running there and can't stay home with the wife. Always going out at night. If I was the woman, I said this a while back, I wouldn't live with a man. If a man stayed out at night like that, I wouldn't have him. And somebody said, well, you stay out about 2 o'clock in the morning. I know my mother-in-law told me this morning at 2 o'clock, she said, that's mighty late hours. But see that? I'm working for Jesus. Hallelujah. You're working for God, that's all right. As long as the wife knows where you are and everything's all right, that's all right. Now, but you go out here and just lazy around, stare off like that, and take dope and all this kind of thing, and a woman get pouting, she runs off to mama's house about 3 days out of every month, I wouldn't live with her. If she spent first three days out of the month with mama, she'd spend the rest of them with mama. I'd just leave her over there. Now, I believe in old-time Holy Ghost living. I believe in getting our mind on Jesus, doing something for Christ, fasting and praying and talking to God, being filled with the Spirit, to where we can win souls out there. I believe in paying our just and our honest debts so that we're not reproached here at Little Bethlehem. I believe in preaching the gospel just like it is. I believe if you're going to live like a devil, go join the devil. If you want to be a pig, get out there in a pig pen. And stop coming to church. And if you want to be a Christian, get up here in the church and stay out of the pig pen. You can't live in both. All right. So then the Bible said, put on your garments, your beautiful garments. Zion said, wake up. Wake up. You're in a sleep. You're in a slothfulness. Get up from there. Open your eyes and get awake. And let's be real men and women. Stop that little old petty thing of blowing up and having a temper every time some little something happens. Every time somebody rubs you wrong, stop that. Stop your lustful, devilish ways of doing. Stop your mocking and unconcern in church. And get down to business. You husbands, stop sitting there cutting your eyes across at your wife, and your wife cutting them across at the husband every time I say something, and you know it's towards you. Because I tell you before you cut your eyes over, I'm talking about you. Wife, I'm talking about you. And husband, I'm talking about you. You don't have to cut your eyes over to let her know it. I tell her I'm talking about her. And I'm talking about you and your crooked way of doing. Now, let's live for God. Let's straighten up. Let's get right. Well, someday somebody, they'll give you a good whipping. Well, I hope they don't. But if they do, I'll just have a whipping, that's all. There's one thing that I can say, praise God, I said a whole lot of it before you ever got to me to whip me. Amen. If I can dodge them a little bit longer, I'll say a whole lot more before I get the second whipping. I'll enjoy it while I am doing it. All right, the Bible said, why should you be afraid of man whose breath is in his nostrils? Man who dies, why should you be afraid of him that you don't speak the word of God? Said, I put my word in your mouth. Why is it that you don't take the boldness and courage of God and speak the word of God and speak out against sin? You know, a lot of people don't believe there is any devils and demons. Did you know that? They don't believe there's any devils and demons. You get up here and start talking about devils. Start talking about demons having control of people. They don't believe in anything like that. They think, well, I just don't feel good tonight. I just wasn't thinking right. It's just one of them bad days with me. It wasn't that at all. You let a devil get a hold of you. When you act like that, you let a devil get a hold of you. Now, I believe that a man has got a sovereignty. I believe that he's got a sovereignty. He's got a mind of his own. He's got a spirit of his own. He can think about sitting down eating a bowl of soup and a devil don't tell him to eat it. He can think about getting up and going to work and a devil don't tell him to do it. He can get up and wash his face and God didn't tell him to do it. He's got a sovereignty. He's got an understanding. And he might get angry and a devil didn't tell him to do it. There might be something that caused him to get angry. But the Bible said, be angry and sin not. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. When you start carrying that anger, cuddling that anger, the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I don't care how much differences you have with your children, you have with your wife, you have with your in-laws. Don't you dare go to bed one night with that thing out of sauce. Don't you never leave this church and go to bed one night out of sauce with God. And numbers of you have done it. Carried all night long and all day long and all the next day and then come back to service with the same old devil. The Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He that sinned, let him sin no more. Awake, Zion, and put on thy beautiful garments. Now, I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. All right. So then, there is devils, there is demons. You've got a sovereignty, but there is devils and there is demons. And the way that devils and demons get into your place of abode, into your heart and mind, the way that they get in there is when you come to a place of truth. And then you shun the truth. Or you kind of cut the corner. Or you just take a resentment against it. Or you just don't yield to it. The devil comes in just like that. Anytime that you know what's right and you don't do it, the devil comes in. The Bible said, don't give place to the devil. Just to be carnally minded is enough enmity with God. Just to be carnally minded is death to begin with. Just to lean to your own understanding is death to start with. If I don't do nothing but think about eating and sleeping and riding and drinking, working and making a living, I'm dead in the sight of God. Even though God allows me that sovereignty, and yet it's not the devil. But because of my fallen condition before my new birth, I am dead even if I do that until I'm born again. And then when I'm born again, God still allows me to do that, but I'm not dead in His sight anymore because I don't eat then just for gluttony. I eat for strength. I eat because I'm doing it for the glory of God. I want to be the right kind of person in health and happiness and glorify God with my body. But when you know better than to do something, children of God, and you do it, you let the devil in. Somebody said, well, now, I don't believe it. I let the devil in. I'm a Christian. I don't care if you are a Christian. When you do something that you know better than to do it, or you shirk the truth a little bit, you let the devil in. That's where he comes in. And when you let him in, you're in for trouble. Now, you say, how do you know? Because in my past life, I've let him in a number of times, and he never did get out till he caused me plenty of trouble. I'll tell you what, you let him in one time, have one little dispute with your wife, and you watch, just have a little dispute, it won't be nothing but just you and her. But after a while, you'll turn a corner, and you'll feel something when you do it, and you'll hear something, something will say, you ought not do that, better hold off of that. But you press on, and in come the devil. And brother, from then on, you can't do nothing with her. You can't straighten her out. You can't reason with her. She's wild. She's crazy. She'll do anything from slam the door to stab you with a butcher knife. You can't do nothing with her. There ain't no need of you running over her saying you'll do this or that. You won't do nothing. That innocent little woman will slit your throat before you know what's happening. Because she's a devil. That thing done got a hold of her. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get her in that kind of condition. Now, she needs to be mother enough, wife enough, woman enough, not to get in that kind of condition to resist the devil. But if she's going to get in it, you better leave her alone. Now, if you stay away from that, you'll have a happy home. But you press in on those things, and you'll be in trouble. You love Jesus? Now, there's a lot that I like to say, but I know you're getting tired of listening to me. But anyway, it's time that you put on your beautiful garment. It's time that we got up out of the ash heap, got up out of the mind of this old carnal serpent way of life, and get out of the dust and get elevated up here into heaven in a right kind of way. Stop coming to church about half asleep, coming to church about half and half, you know, in our minds. And when we come in, never, we ain't got enough control on our mind to do nothing. Bible said, he that hath no control over his spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. Just come in and we're sitting on ready. We don't pray enough, fast enough to keep control of our spirit. And we come in and we just come in and we kind of lounge down. And if the preacher don't come in just exactly like we think he ought to come in, then we start resenting, finding faults, questions arising in our heart. And then it's just like a bunch of bees buzzing around everywhere. And he's got to start preaching and talking and everything else just to be able to get a little bit of the Word of God over to you. So don't do that. Every one of you, I know you ain't going to do it, but I'm still supposed to tell you. And then in the day of judgment, you'll be rewarded accordingly because you didn't do it. But nevertheless, I know you ain't going to do it. But I'm telling you, I wish you would do it for the sake of your soul, but I know you ain't because I've told you so many times. But out of all of you, maybe I'll salvage a few. I'm going to tell you something. If you wait until you feel that I feel just exactly the way that you want me to feel in your thinking, before you ever submit yourself, you ever come to God, you'll die and go to hell. Because God ain't got no true preacher that's going to feel the way that you want him to feel in your mind. As a matter of fact, if I feel like that I feel the way you think I ought to feel in your thoughts, I'll do something else to change it, just to be contrary to your thinking. So you and I are never going to get together like that. I believe it's one thing that my wife knows that I do that at home. If I think that my wife is thinking that I feel just exactly the way she wants me to feel, I'll change it just to be contrary to her thinking. Because I am not going to come under the bondage of any human mind. I belong to Christ. And I'm not going to mess with human thoughts. I watch myself, because if I even let my mind go back to my childhood, let my mind go back in the past, I'll be thinking on something good that happened to me in the past. And it won't be 15 minutes before the devil's done a turnabout on that thing and put up a decoy and got me off down a path down there. I'm thinking about something worldly or thinking about something. It just tears me all to pieces. And I say, my God, I wish I never thought of the other to start with. So I don't even mess with that. I just stay out of that. Getting those things behind, I just keep looking ahead. Let me do something for Jesus. Let me do something for Jesus. I never had no happiness. No happiness except in Jesus. Never. No happiness except in Jesus, my Christ. And I stay right there in him because that's the only place I have happiness. The Lord must have ordained it for my life, because I try to get out. Sometimes I try just to, you know, get my mind clear just a few minutes of things and say, well, now this is my wife. This is my little children. They're growing up. And Betty say, they're growing up, George. We've got to spend a little time with them. I say, this is a little, got to spend a little time with them over here. And you know, in the first news, you know, the devil stole the hook into me. And I'm done feel dirty. I feel under condemnation. The devil's done got me going around and around. I say, my God, I wish I never mess with it. So I just try to love my children. Keep my mind in the Spirit of God and do what I can with them in the Spirit of God and keep my mind on God and forget about the fact that I got to do anything with my children and just love them and have them to try to love me as I teach them about Jesus. I tell you, the way I feel, it's better for to tell them about Jesus than to take them to a water hole anyway. If I'm en route and we're traveling, we go by a water hole where I can stop, have time to think about Jesus or read a little and keep my eyes where I can watch him at the same time and keep my mind right on God, then sometimes I'll stop them. Otherwise, I just keep on going. Let's everybody stand together, will you? I keep telling you over and over, I feel my people getting real carnal. They should be getting real spiritual. But I feel them getting real carnal. Some of them, I believe, doing a lot better than they did. And some of them doing a lot worse than they did. I had some that was doing better a few months ago than they're doing now. I got some of them that was doing terrible a few months ago that they're doing better. You know, the Bible said the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do. Because it said, you said that you would go, you started, stopped, and didn't go. And they just said, I'm going to be a harlot and a drunkard. And finally they got sick of it and turned around and said, my God, have mercy on me. And the Lord took them into the kingdom and left you out of it. So then you better realize that just being a nice person and everybody saying, well, Sister so-and-so, she's nice. Brother so-and-so, he's nice. That ain't going to take you to heaven. You're going to have to get down to business with God. You're going to have to love Jesus. Just coming to church, that don't mean nothing. Coming to church means something only if you're born again or if you're trying to get born again. Otherwise, it don't mean a thing. Let's sing a little song together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You know, Sister Betty was reading me a letter. We get some beautiful letters from people, and we get some that ain't so beautiful. But she was reading me a letter. I think one of the sisters had brought it over to her. And the way the letter read, it sounded like the people were pretty nice, decent sort of a people. It sounded like they was really concerned about the sister. But in the letter, this woman kept warning the sister about the Brother Branham followers. Said, all the followers of Brother Branham that I met, said, they're mixed up. Said, if Brother Pike is a follower of Brother Branham, said, you better watch him close. That's a bad testimony to leave, ain't it? I have to confess that I met so many of them that's really in a mixed up condition. But at the same time, the woman wouldn't say that Brother Branham wasn't a prophet. She had enough fear of Brother Branham. And I know the word of God. She said, they say he was a prophet, so I ain't going to say what. But she did point this out. She said, you know, we worship Christ, not prophets. Isn't that right? She said. Right then and there, let me know that she doesn't know what a prophet is. And that she don't understand God. Right then and there. The Bible said they glorified God within me. If she had understood what a prophet was, she would have known that people glorify God in a prophet. And glorify God in an apostle. And that God is glorified in His people. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I can tell that some of you don't agree with me. But I could tell right then and there that she's probably a fine woman, a churchgoer, but warning the sister to watch me, she caused the sister to be kind of leery of me. But you better listen to God and you better listen to the Word of God. Letters can cause you problems. Did you know that? People can cause you problems and get you watching for something when you ought to be watching for God. The woman said, look for Christ. That's right, but look for Christ in the minister. The Bible said it's not him speaking, but God speaking. Christ speaking. If you're going to see Christ at all, you'll see him in the preacher. That's why God sent the preacher. So then all of you get letters from time to time. And mama says, you better watch that preacher. And grandma says, you better watch that preacher. Brother said, you better watch that preacher. Say, glory to God, I got my eyes right on him. Peter said, look on it. I'm watching that preacher. And you keep your mind in the Holy Spirit. And you won't let demons in. You keep your mind on God. And everything will be all right. We're worshiping God, the Holy Spirit. But listen, God has one body and we're bone of that bone and flesh of that flesh. You ain't never going to see no God but the body that you're looking at. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Oh, somebody said, someday. No, when Jesus comes back, he'll be just like he said, filled of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. The Bible said as he went away, he'll come back again. That's the only way you're going to ever see God is in the body of God. And Jesus Christ is the head of that body. And God, the Holy Spirit, works through that body. That's when the Bible said, submit yourselves one unto another. Why didn't it just say, submit yourselves unto God and let that be it? It didn't say that. It says, submit yourselves one unto another. Though it does say, submit yourself unto God. Love one another. Look on one another. Esteem one another better than yourself. Isn't that right? The devil loves to divide people up. That's what's wrong with the church world. That's what's wrong with the denomination. When that woman went over and fell down at a man's feet, can somebody say amen? I said she fell down at a man's feet. Come on! I said the woman fell down at a man's feet and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. A man! Oh, somebody said, that wasn't a man. The Bible said he was the man, Christ Jesus. And don't follow a man, but he said, follow me. Paul said, follow me. Somebody said, but that was Jesus. All right, what you going to do when Elijah come back from over the Jordan? The Bible said he come back from over the Jordan. Elisha, that is, come back from over the Jordan. He picked up the mantle. He walked back from over the Jordan. And when he walked over the Jordan, the Bible said he fell down at his feet. Come on now. He was a man. He was a man. Somebody say, you mean he's fallen at his feet? Why didn't he fall at his feet before he went over the Jordan? Same Elijah. Same Elisha. Isn't that right? They saw something in him when he come back from over the Jordan they didn't see when he went over the Jordan. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? The Bible said, I will make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. God's in his temple. Where's his temple? Right here. God's in his temple. Let all the world keep silent. You love Jesus? You know where you bow at? You bow before the altar. You know where the altar's at? It's right here. Somebody said, well, you don't see me getting down on my knees. Everyone that don't take a bow in his spirit's going to go to hell. That's what I'm talking about tonight. You're going to bow down. You're going to break your spirit. Some of you don't bow down, but you're going to hell. You're not my sheep, Jesus said. You will. If you go to heaven, you'll submit yourself. Not only
one to another, but the Bible said unto the minister, because he watches for your soul. Submit yourself unto him. Worship God. Glorify God in your brother. Glorify God in your sister. You say, how can I glorify God in Brother Taylor? I watched Brother Taylor. I've watched him years gone by. He don't do a lot of it now because we don't have that much to do. But I've seen him out here with a bucket of mud in his hand, a bucket in his hand, and mud all over his face. And I see a little boy going up that thing over there, a little old bitty boy, maybe 12 years old. I seen Tilden when he's just a youngster climbing up and down the ladders in the coal out there. And I'd stand back and I'd say, glory to God. That's God in him. That's God in Brother Taylor. That's God in Brother Adley. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a man. Somebody say, I love Jesus.